And joining me to talk about their efforts are KnowledgeWorks President and CEO Judy Pepler, the President of EdWorks, Harold Brown, and the Executive Director of the Strive Partnership, Greg Landsman. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's go around the table and let each of you describe what your organizations do, what your goals are. And let's start with you, Judy, since KnowledgeWorks is the umbrella organization.
Sure, Mark. Thanks for having us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being here, everybody.
Sure. KnowledgeWorks is a Cincinnati-based education foundation that is not a typical grant-making organization. Rather, we're an operating foundation, and we operate three separate subsidiaries that are all focused on trying to graduate more students college and career ready. And so we've got three different subsidiaries all working towards that goal. The first one is New Tech Networks, which is a Napa-based organization that we acquired in 2009. And they come in and do intensive professional development for teachers to implement project-based learning in schools. And so Aiken School here in Cincinnati this year became a New Tech high school. And so we've got schools in 135 different school districts across the country. So that's project-based learning, a type of an environment. I'll let Harold and Greg talk about the other two subsidiaries. Those are EdWorks and Strive Together. So, Harold.
Thanks, Judy. And again, thanks, Mark, for inviting us to be with you today. I'm the president of EdWorks, which, as Judy said, is a subsidiary. We focus largely on turning around low-performing schools and creating innovative new schools and learning environments. Our specific focus now is on what we call early college schools, which are designed to allow first-generation low-income students to achieve up to an associate's degree while in high school so that they come out with a marketable certificate or an associate's degree or significant college credits. And so we've done a significant amount of that work in Ohio, but are now doing it nationally.
So you say you're getting students ready for college by getting them to do a significant amount of work ahead of time. Does it equate into credit hours?
Yes. Yes, our role is to accelerate their readiness to accomplish college success while in high school. And so they accumulate credits and hopefully credits that are aligned towards some pathway, towards a degree. It's proven remarkably successful both in Ohio and across the country.
And Greg, fill us in on what the Strive Partnership does.
Sure. As Judy said, the work of the foundation is all about getting more and more kids college and career ready. And for our local partnership, which has been around for 6 or 7 years, it's supporting, bringing together our collective resources in and outside of school to ensure that every child is succeeding every step of the way, prenatally, through birth, all the way to some meaningful career. We do a lot of convening of organizations and initiatives around best practices, leveraging local, national data to ensure that we are mobilizing our existing resources around what we know works so that more and more kids are succeeding around a set of shared goals from, if you want more kids to graduate college and career ready, they've got to be doing well on their ACTs and graduating on time. To do that, we know that eighth grade math, for example, is a critical milestone. The big predictor of eighth grade math success is third grade reading. The big predictor of third grade reading is school readiness and kindergarten readiness. So one of the things that we're working on this year is universal preschool for every 3- and 4-year-old, because we know if we can get more and more kids ready for school, it has this cascading effect in terms of long-term impact on children as they move through that education continuum.
So universal preschool, that's crucial to the effort then.
Yeah, I mean, it's foundational. I mean, we work the entire continuum, but one of the big initiatives that we're working on with United Way Success by Six and 4C and the Community Action Agency and other partners who have been involved in this work for a long time is to say, look, this is a big issue nationally, as you know, and that's a good thing. But to get it right, we want to lead on it here locally and We have been pushing and will continue to push this effort to ensure that every single child in Cincinnati for 2 years has access to quality preschool, which we know will be a game changer for the kids, for our schools, and ultimately for our workforce.
And I would just say that follows on some of the other work that KnowledgeWorks does, is take all of the work that we're learning from on the ground and in the schools and in the communities, and then try to set the policy foundations at the state and the federal level to put in place the right incentives to encourage that the work to happen.
Yeah, so on one hand, you know, we are, as a foundation, working to influence national and state policy as it relates to, say, universal preschool or preschool in general. And at the same time, we're saying using a decade's worth of data and all of the infrastructure and leadership capacity that we have here, we can get it right. We can do universal preschool in a way that has the most impact. Because we were incredibly thoughtful and deliberate about how we did it. And that will have huge implications, we believe, for other cities and states and the country, so that we're helping to make sure everyone gets it right.
So you're hoping to create a model? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I mean, first and foremost, we want to get it done and done right here so that we are transforming outcomes for kids in our schools. But obviously, because we're part of a national foundation, the opportunity goes beyond that, which is to say, yeah, we can go and hopefully help other communities and the country, quite frankly, get this right.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Harold, one of the things that EdWorks does, is this correct, that you can help a student earn an associate degree while still in high school? How does that work?
Yes, so we help a high school, for example, design a pathway for students that if they really do press and they really are rigorous in their studies, they can accomplish an associate's degree at up to 60 hours of college credit during that 4 years of high school. So it's not easy, especially when we're targeting first-generation poor and minority students who may come into high school behind. So our role is to really accelerate their readiness for college-level work by focusing heavily on literacy, on math, and conquering the basics, and then gauging their readiness to take at least one college course, maybe the second semester of their freshman year, and additional courses during their sophomore, juniors, and senior years. We've helped start about 9 of these in Ohio, and they're now nearly 20 across the state. None in the Cincinnati area. We're in some conversations and hopeful that we can get something going here. But the idea, again, is that with workforce needs going unmet, with college readiness a huge issue, and with low completion rates in college, we believe this is one of the most promising strategies for college completion.
And the data is there.
And the data is very strong. The results have been very, very strong.
They do a really good job of working the partnerships with the local school districts and with the community college or the four-year university that is in a community, so that they can work together, so that the student actually takes the classes at the college campus if they can, and has the rigor that you would get with a regular college course.
So that's a good point, Judy. How do the organizations connect with local schools and other agencies in the community? How do they relate with them? How do they work?
Well, I think Greg can speak to the Cincinnati partnership, but they try to set a very broad table so that anybody that's been focusing resources, be it private foundations, businesses, nonprofit providers, faith-based organizations, really try to get them all to the table so that we can take the existing resources that are already being spent in a community and really target them to some very specific data-based outcomes that we know make a difference in whether the student succeeds or not.
Yeah, so the only thing I'd add is, you know, we are, as a partnership here locally, and then there are partnerships like ours popping up all over the country, and the Strive Together subsidiary of KnowledgeWorks provides support to those communities. We're focused on ensuring every single child is ready for school, that they're reading successfully by the end of third grade, that they are proficient in math by the time they finish eighth grade, on grade level. They're graduating on time, and they're doing well on their ACTs, and they're showing up to college campuses or workforce training programs ready to go. And as a community, you know, we know we have the assets and the leadership capacity and the resources here locally. If we can organize ourselves more effectively, we can hit those targets and do so faster and get to the point where every single kid is succeeding every step of the way. That's the goal.
What are some of the specific programs and specific projects that you're involved in?
So at least for us, you know, for the next year or two, we're very focused on universal preschool, getting that done. That's part of a larger effort called Read On, which is our regional early grade level reading effort to ensure every single child is reading successfully by the end of third grade. And we have a venture fund that's been set up to invest in things we know are working, 0 to 3, 3 to 5, K to 3, so on and so forth. We are doing a lot of work with our post-secondary partners to reduce the remediation rates. I mean, one of the things that Harold's work does, and he'll talk more about it, is that more and more of our kids are showing up to college campuses with remedial needs, particularly in math, and that becomes a major barrier for them to complete. And so we've been working with all of the local colleges and universities to work on some best practices to reduce remedial needs, to increase persistence rates. A big chunk of our work is about data, and so we try to provide as much useful, analyzed data for our partners to get better at what they're doing and ensure that every kid is getting what they need and what they're getting is working.
I would just add that we've talked a lot about early college, but the other two areas that we have spent a lot of time working in is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math education. And we've done actually some work here in the Cincinnati area with certain schools. But to really improve the ability of teachers and school leaders to create a STEM-focused learning environment. And then secondly, we've also done a lot of what we call school turnaround work. We've worked with some of the lowest performing schools, not only in Ohio, but across the country, to fundamentally redesign those learning environments. And the real crux of our work, the bread and butter of our work, frankly, is improving instruction through professional development with teachers and leaders. That's really the genesis of our work. And one final comment I would say is that your question about partnerships, we all know that the most intractable issues that we deal with in education are not just about what happens in the school. The students bring a lot of non-academic, non-school issues. And so the partnerships become really important, whether they be social service agencies or businesses who help create experiential learning opportunities or opportunities for kids that reward kids for their hard work. So in everything that we do at KnowledgeWorks and at EdWorks and, of course, Strive, we have always been about widening that tent so that others who can contribute to the success of students are a part of our work.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And what age, I guess we address this to Greg since it's a preschool question.
Yeah.
What age do you suggest preschooling start? Should it be a full day thing?
You know, this gets to a larger question in terms of, when does the learning experience begin for kids? And you know, brain development starts prenatally. And so access to quality prenatal care is really important. If you want to transform your system of education, quality best practice home visitation, which every child succeeds is doing here and doing a wonderful job. That's critically important. In terms of preschool, I mean, other countries are leading on this. Some start at age 2. What we're proposing and what the data suggest is that 2 years of high-quality preschool makes an enormous difference in terms of closing the achievement gap, ensuring that every single kid, irrespective of income, shows up to school at age 5 or 6, ready to go. And that has huge implications long-term for the kid and for their family and for the school. And so that is, whether it's 1 year or 2 year or 2 years or 3 years, you know, having those early learning experiences, especially when they're high quality, makes not all the difference, but pretty close in terms of whether or not a child's going to succeed.
And is this something that should be integrated into daycare, or should be a standalone preschool?
So the way that and this is why we want to do it locally, because we have amazing infrastructure and leadership capacity and data to get this right. But it is a matter of ensuring that public and private preschools, whether they operate childcare, whether they also do childcare or not, are operating with quality. And so the way the preschool promise will work is it will give parents a tuition credit that they can use at any quality rated center that they pick, public or private, so long as it's quality rated and the kids are going to have a good experience, and that will hopefully not only improve outcomes for their kids, it'll make life a whole lot easier for them because this is a very expensive part of a family's budget, and it'll help grow the city, something we haven't done in a long time.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And you can also email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk with Carrie from Anderson. Good afternoon, Carrie. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Good. And what's your question or comment?
Well, my comment was I did not go to preschool, and I am a college graduate, dean's list every quarter. I have two sons, both. One is 27, one is 23. Both of them graduated from college. Both of them did very well in their school career. My older son didn't want to go to preschool, so I did not send him. My younger son, he had a birthday that was kind of late in the year, so I held him back, and I needed a place to park him for a year, so I put him in preschool. I noticed absolutely zero difference in the performance of my two sons in school, with one having gone to preschool and one having not gone to preschool.
Okay, Carrie, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, we want to make sure we get it right and we do it in a way where it's voluntary and it's up to the parents as to whether or not they think it's right for their kids. We just want to make sure that everyone has access. But locally, if a child has access to quality preschool, they show up to school ready to learn, and they're much more likely to be reading successfully by the end of third grade, which is a key predictor in terms of high school graduation rates. You know, it's for my kids, it's been transformative, and the data locally and nationally is pretty compelling. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's entirely up to every family.
And thank you, Carrie. We appreciate the comment. Is preschool, is it more important to lower income families who maybe don't have the resources?
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, look, I think it's important for all families who choose that particular way of getting their child ready to go and ready for school. But yes, it's the situation is particularly relevant to those families who can't afford it. I mean, you know, so whether you choose to or not, having the ability to pay is something that should be taken off the table.
And let's talk with Steve from Lebanon. Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just a quick question here. Do you address, for lack of a, and it almost has a stigma to it, vocational training for skilled trades? I mean, it's almost apocryphal that Caterpillar has thousands of jobs that it can't fill because it can't find people that are trained as electricians and machine operators and automated manufacturing technicians.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate the question.
Yes. In our work, we really try to do an analysis of local workforce development needs, for example. And you know, career tech for so long has had a certain stereotype associated with, but we know that in this area there may be 30,000 jobs that are going unfilled, the majority of which are in this science, technology, engineering, and math fields. And so in the work that we do, we really try to align the high school or early college high school curriculum to those kinds of career pathways. A lot of what we see in terms of students not performing well or dropping out is because they don't see what's going to be at the end of the pathway, of the rainbow. And so a lot of the work that we're doing is trying to say that if you follow this pathway during high school, that will lead to a certification or a marketable degree or some opportunity to be employed, gainfully employed. So, yes, sir, we definitely are trying hard to match the educational curriculum to workforce needs.
And I would also add just both NewTek and EdWorks really work on those 21st century skills that you're going to need in the workplace. You know, it's all about the four C's of communication, collaboration, cultural awareness, and competency. And so really a lot of emphasis is on when you're doing those projects, that's how you're going to work typically in the future, is how do you interact with your team and how do you make sure that you're participating fully in that kind of an environment.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Marge. Good afternoon, Marge.
Good afternoon. I just want to honor all the folks on your show today and thank them for the work they're doing. I do community work. I'm actually working on the other end of the spectrum with elders and rescuing the notion of the importance of the elders in the community. But the fact that they are pulling in all these levels of our society and weaving them together and calling everybody in on a problem is creating community, and community is something we don't naturally have anymore. We live next door to people that we don't do the same things as, and we have a very creating community or recreating community is really important, and this is a natural solution and a really healing thing to do. And, you know, given the difficulty of getting things done from higher levels, the fact that we're doing this and they are doing this on a local level, you know, because that's where things can be done. We know what we need right in this area. So it's really powerful work, and I'm very inspired. And I would really like to know whether they, I would like to tap into their way of working. It seems as though y'all have a very, very clear concept of the work you're doing, and I think anybody who's interested in weaving the community together could benefit by it. I wonder if there's any way to. Do you ever have a forum or anything like that? Do you have public meetings? Do you have trainings?
We do. Yeah, Marge, this is Greg. We do tons of that. First of all, thank you for what you're doing and for your comments. And, yeah, you can, email me directly, landsmang@strivetogether.org, or you can go. We're recruiting Promise Ambassadors to help us with this universal preschool work. That website is cincy-promise.org. We're recruiting volunteer tutors in our schools. We recruited almost 1,000 last year as part of Be the Change. All of those things, you could just Google Be the Change Cincinnati or the Preschool Promise Cincinnati and find us. But it's Greg and Landsman and Marge. We'd love to get you involved. So thank you for your comments.
And you can also find links on the WVXU.org website for more information on this. Let's talk with Richard from Let's talk with Richard from Westchester. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, everybody. Yes, I'm calling from a standpoint of some experience mentoring a student at Aiken about 15 years ago, and I'm very encouraged by what I hear, but I must admit I got one raised eyebrow, because a key problem with the students there, and admittedly this is old data, 15 years ago, but a lot of those children were from broken homes, I mean severely broken, neither parent, living with relatives or friends. They were not getting 3 square meals a day. They weren't doing their homework. And I'm encouraged by what I hear, but what's being done about these, shall we say, foundational problems that the students have?
Thank you, Richard. We appreciate the question.
Thanks, Richard. I would actually encourage you to go over and take a look at Aiken now. I think you'd see a tremendous difference in the school. There's very engaged students working on projects. There's a lot of technology that they're learning to use in the classroom. And so I think you'd see a very different environment now. But Harold, maybe you want to talk a little bit about the other things that you do.
Yeah, and thank you. I'm actually on the board of the Cincinnati Youth Collaborative Jobs for Cincinnati Graduates, which has a very large mentoring program, so we appreciate that you have that experience. There's no question that the complexities of educating young people go way beyond what happens in the classroom. And so you heard us earlier talk about the various kinds of partnerships. The community resource centers here in Cincinnati are a big part of that. We have, as an organization, had a partnership with Rothenburg K-6 School, where we tutor young people, and we see firsthand the great extent to which the staff and the administration there have to clothe students, feed students, and deal with all those other issues even before students are able to sit and learn and be studious. And so we appreciate and know exactly what you're talking about. There are no easy answers to these problems. These are larger social issues that affect the ability to educate young people. So it is about a broader partnership that looks at the whole child. And so, again, as you've heard here today in a lot of our work, we try to bring all those folks in. And one final thing, it just reminds me of a great quote by the great Frederick Douglass that said, "It is easier to raise strong children than to fix broken men. It is easier to raise strong children than to fix broken men." And I think that's a motto that our organization embraces.
Very wise motto, yes. Very wise statement.
You know, the only thing I'd add is that, there's so many wonderful things happening to transform education, but you're exactly right. I mean, at the end of the day, there has to be, a foundational stability at home, a caring, engaged parent or parents, and that makes all the difference in the world. And so, one of the things that you know, we're focused on as part of the Read On initiative, the Venture Fund, the Preschool Promise, is investing in those things that really empower parents and ensure that they are as engaged as they can be, because we know that makes a huge difference. And so when I say, you know, we want to make sure that this whole preschool thing is done right by getting it done here locally, part of that is making sure that the parent piece is not only in play, but it's a major focus, so that parents are not only being held accountable if they're going to utilize the resource, but that they're being supported so that when the child goes home, they're going home to a new environment, which will make a huge difference.
And let's talk with Nicole from Cincinnati. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My oldest child is actually a kindergartner. We're in the Sycamore School District, which we think is terrific. And my question is, with all these high standards that, you know, these little kindergartners are expected to make, how are we achieving that with half day? My daughter happens to be in a full day program, but you know, there's a lot of half day programs, and I'm just wondering how those kids are expected to meet the same standards, and is Ohio going anywhere towards, you know, getting full day kindergarten?
Nicole, thanks for the question. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, you know, the assessments that kids take right now when they get to kindergarten are literacy based. That will change. It'll be literacy plus the social emotional aspects of development, which in many instances are more important in terms of 21st century skills and making sure that we have the right workforce ultimately. I mean, this is, again, you know, do you wait on the state? Do you wait on Congress? Or do you get something done locally? And the fact is that for a lot of families, if they don't want to do a full day or half day or be part of preschool or you know, that's one thing. But for most families, they do. It's just an affordability issue. And if we can help subsidize that cost so that every child, irrespective of income, has access to, you know, 5 to 8 hours of quality learning prior, you know, every day for a couple years prior to kindergarten, it will make a huge difference in terms of whether or not we're supporting every kid.
Well, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
KnowledgeWorks President and CEO Judy Pepler, Harold Brown, the President of EdWorks, and Greg Landsman, Executive Director of the Strive Partnership. Coming up, the sport of curling and its growing popularity in the U.S. And in Focus on Technology, Ann Thompson tells us about technology for coping with winter weather. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.